seated. Praise the Lord. All right, we're starting a new series, a new Sunday morning series called Seeking and Searching. Seeking and Searching. We're going to be looking at just one verse in Deuteronomy chapter 4, and then we're going to go through a few different verses. I think each and every one of us is familiar with looking for something, seeking or searching for something. We've all lost something at some point in our lives. Now then, depending upon the value of the item that we've lost will depend upon how diligently we seek or search for it. Now, I am probably the best person at looking for anything. I drive Joe to absolute distraction. When I say, Joe, where is this? It's in that cupboard there. And I open up the cupboard and I said, no, it's not there. And she literally come up and was like, it's right there. It's like staring you in the face. And sometimes, perhaps things are not as important to us that we kind of don't really put the effort in. When I lost my wallet, maybe a year or so ago, and I panicked because obviously it was my credit cards, my driving license. There's just, I think for the first time in a while, there was even cash in my wallet. And it wasn't just a case of like, oh, well, I can't find it, never mind. We literally turned the house upside down. I retraced my steps. I drove back to where I remember the last place was that I paid for something. I was on the floor. I didn't care. It was actually, we'd gone to Taco Bell in Talbot Green. I was on the floor, crawling around on my hands and knees, and people must have thought, either this guy's a health inspector or he's nuts. Because I was like, I was sat here, and I looked under the tables. I went back to where I parked the car, and did it fall out? I was crawling under other cars, so maybe the wallet had fallen out and had gone under the car. Then I'd gone back home, and I was searching through the wardrobe. Did it fall out of my trousers? And I had to put the torch on my phone. I was diligently seeking for my wallet. I was moving things. I was looking. I was retracing my steps because it was important. Some things are worth seeking after. Some things are worth searching for. And I'm sure at some point in our lives, each and every one of us has had that kind of behavior because the item that we've lost has been important. Maybe it was car keys. Maybe it was a credit card. Maybe it was a bank card. Maybe it was a wallet. Maybe it was a purse. Maybe it was your phone. But you've done that diligent searching. And here's the thing. When we come and talk about seeking the Lord, oftentimes we might think, well, that's just talking about salvation. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. That's just salvation. If you seek the Lord and search him with all your heart, then you'll find him. That's just talking about a lost person looking for the Lord and finding him and getting saved. Well, the Bible says it's the Holy Spirit that draws us to the Father. I wasn't seeking the Lord the night that I got saved. I knew of him. I didn't think there was anything wrong with my life until the preacher preached and I was under such conviction that I realized then I need to be saved. But when we come to talk about seeking the Lord, we might think, well, this season is going to be just about witnessing. This season is going to be to the lost. This season has got nothing to do with us. The Bible has a lot to say about seeking the Lord, about seeking his face, about searching the scriptures. We should have a desire to diligently seek the Lord, to put as much effort into seeking the Lord as we do for the most valuable item that we've ever lost and we've searched for until we've found it. Seeking and searching are mentioned over 300 times in the scriptures. And that ranges from seeking earthly things to seeking to catch somebody out, or in a spiritual sense, seeking the Lord's face, seeking the Lord's name, searching the scriptures. So over the next few weeks, we're going to look at the importance of seeking the Lord. Yes, to some degree that is going to relate to those who are unsaved, but it's going to speak to us. And it's going to challenge us to make sure that we are seeking the Lord. It's in seeking him we get to know more about him. It's in seeking him that we draw closer to him. It's in searching the scriptures that we grow more like him. If you are here today and you've accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, then you need to seek the Lord. If you are here today and you've never at a point in your life where you've called on the name of the Lord, you don't know if you're going to heaven or not, and you don't know if your sins are dealt with or not, and or you don't even realize that there's anything wrong, you need to seek the Lord because He's seeking for you. So let's have a look quickly at Deuteronomy chapter 4 and verse 29, and then we'll go into this message and seek ye the Lord. Deuteronomy 4:29 says, "But it is from thence thou shalt seek the Lord thy God, that thou shalt find him if thou seek him with all thine heart and with all thy soul." Father, we thank you again for this day, for this time together, and for this opportunity to come around your word. Lord, we pray that you would speak to our hearts today. Father, we can come to a point in our lives where we just become comfortable in our Christian life, where we kind of put our feet up and relax a little bit. But Father, there are so many things in this life that we seek for, that we search for, that we put effort into. When we go to work, there's an effort that we put into that because that's what we do to earn a living. That's what we do to make sure if there's a possibility of promotion. And sometimes we neglect the spiritual aspect of our lives. So, Father, help us to realize the importance of seeking your face, searching the scriptures. Help us, Lord, to be diligent in that seeking and searching, that we might make it a priority in our lives. So, Father, we pray that you would speak to our hearts today. Maybe we're here today and we don't recognize the need to keep doing that in our lives as believers. Father, I pray that you would challenge us today, change us, help us, and that we might be the child of God that you need us to be, and that others might see Christ in us. We pray and ask these things in that most precious and wonderful name. Amen. So first of all, there is a priority in seeking the Lord. Seeking the Lord and spending intimate time with him ought to be a priority of every Christian. But it's probably not. We live busy lives. We rush from one thing to another. In some instances, we're all the whole household is working full-time jobs, or you're kind of almost like ships in the night just passing, and life is so busy and complicated that perhaps we don't always have time to seek the Lord. But here's the thing. In the busyness of our day, we have time to make a cup of coffee. We have time to make breakfast. We have time to make lunch. We have time to make dinner. We have time to do a whole host of things. But the priority is seeking the Lord. How many of you take like vitamins and all of that type of stuff on a kind of daily basis? I've never taken a vitamin tablet in my life, I don't think, except for the orange-flavored vitamin C tablets my mother used to shove down us when there was even the hint of a cold. Because it's not important. I don't see it as important. But for those who have health issues and they've got to take tablets every day to make sure that, the heart is okay or the blood pressure's down or whatever it is, they make sure they take those tablets straight away. And there's a panic if they haven't taken them. I'm saying that to say this. As important as something is to some people because they view it as a life-saving incident in the day, that's what our seeking the Lord should be like. That should be our priority. Before we do anything, I'm going to ask you a question. Now, you don't have to put your hands up. But how many of us, the moment we wake up in the morning, pick this up and spend the first half an hour on this rather than picking this up and spending the first half an hour on this? I get it, you might pick this up and do your devotions, that's fine. No problem, I'll give you a pass on that. But we do these things that are a blessing and a curse because they have such an impact on our lives because, great, there are so many people today now who can't be here because of ill health who are managing to tune in online. But then how easy is that for us to say, well, I can't be bothered to go today. I'll watch in my pajamas. I don't even have to watch it live. I'll just watch it later at my convenience. sometimes they can be a bit of a pain. I understand the importance of them. But as with anything, the devil can make even that which seems good to be that which is bad if used incorrectly. Seeking the Lord ought to be a priority. You look at Mary and Martha. Martha was cumbered about with serving. The service side of things had become a burden. And Mary was just sat at the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ. And Jesus said, she's picked the better part. We can do this stuff after. You can't always do this straight away. How many of you at the beginning of the day have thought, oh, I haven't got time to do that now, but I'll do it later. And then the day becomes so busy, you kind of get to bed in the night and you think, oh no, I didn't have time to do that. I'll catch up tomorrow. I'm not going to mention any names, but I was speaking to somebody last week and they said, oh, I tried to read my Bible through in a year and I've got it on the app and I think I'm going to have to start again. I said, why is that? He said, because I'm 256 days behind in my reading. I said, yeah, you're probably better off just starting from scratch and going back to day one. But it ought to be a priority. That ought to be our first thing that we do. The psalmist said, be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth. Seeking the Lord should be a matter of urgency for every single believer. What if I said to you, right, next Sunday, dotted around the church, it may be buried outside, it may be up in the balcony, it may be in the new building, it may be anywhere, but dotted around the church, I am going to leave wads of cash. We're going to have a treasure hunt. And it's going to start at 11 o'clock next Sunday morning. Let me ask you this question. How many of you are going to wait till 11 o'clock to turn up? Who's going to rock up like, well, he said it was Sunday and it's 11:59 Saturday night. So technically, in another minute, it's Sunday. If we had the opportunity to come and find, you know, an invaluable treasure, an insurmountable amount of cash, we'd make the effort to turn up and we'd put the effort in to find it. Patrick Morley said, the turning point in our lives is when we stop seeking the God we want and start seeking the God who is. A.W. Tozer said this, many people seem to be interested in knowing God for what they can get out of him. They do not seem to know that God wants to give himself. He wants to impart himself with his gifts. Any gift that he would give us would be incomplete if it were separate from the knowledge of God himself. I feel that we must repudiate this great modern wave of seeking God for his benefits. The sovereign God wants to be loved for himself and honored for himself, but that is only part of what he wants. The other part is that he wants us to know that when we have him, we have everything. God wants us to seek him. How do we get to know somebody? We get to know somebody by spending time with them. You know, when I first started going out with Joe, I'm not allowed to say courting because the kids say, oh, Dad, that's so old-fashioned. But when I started going out with Joe, you know, I didn't know anything about her. I didn't even know where Ferndale was. You know, I'm from Llanfair Fadre. We didn't go up into the valleys, even though that's where Dad's family were from. We emigrated. You know, they emigrated back in the 50s, and I didn't know where Ferndale was. I didn't know anything about that. But the more time I spent with her, the more I got to know her, I realized, oh, Ferndale's not that bad, actually. As bad as admissible, but it's not that bad. But the more time I spent with her, the more I got to know about her. I got to learn, you know, how she thought, how she worked, how she, you know, what kind of made her happy, what made her sad, the things that I would do that was annoying. But you only get to know that by spending time with them. How can we get to fully know God if we don't spend time with him? God is infinite. So how do we think that our finite minds can fully comprehend God just by giving him like 5 minutes a day. Oh, well, I'll do my devotion quickly, and then, you know, at least I can put a tick in the box, and at least all the ladies will see that I've read that devotion then on our group, and at least there's a tick, and it'll come up to say, hey, they've created this verse. Hey, they've done this reading. Hey. But that's not the point in seeking the Lord. We're not seeking the Lord so all the people on the group chat on our Bible app can say, oh, look how many devotions they've done. Our point in seeking the Lord is a priority because we want to know what he's like. You know, when we get saved and we first get saved, there's a lot of things that's confusing. What do all these terms mean? What are, you know, we don't fully understand what salvation is, let alone what justification is, and let alone what separation is, and sanctification and glorification. What's all these terms? But we want to know the Lord. We want to know what he's like. We want to get to know him. We want to walk with him. We want to have that relationship with him. That should be the heart's desire of every believer. David said, glory ye in his holy name. Let the heart of them rejoice that seek the Lord. Look, seeking the Lord is not a punishment for being a Christian. Seeking the Lord is a joyful part of our lives as we get to know more about him, as we get to know why he's done what he's done in our lives, as we get to know who he is and how he works and how he thinks and how he talks and how he acts with us as his children. And that ought to be an exciting part of our day. That was the same attitude that Paul had, that I may know him, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings be made conformable unto his death. We don't seek the Lord because of what he can give us. We seek the Lord because of who he is. We don't seek the Lord because of what we can gain. We seek the Lord because of what he's done. Wouldn't you resent somebody that just came to you all the time when they wanted something? You kind of know then, you can work it out. So somebody at the phone's like, oh, I know why they're phoning. They just want something again. It wouldn't be nice if we just spend time with the Lord and said, I don't want anything. Just come to spend time with you. I just want to come and sit at your feet and learn. I just want to come and sit at your feet and hear your voice. I'm not coming with my list. I'm not coming with my ailments. I'm not coming with anything other than to just seek your face. That ought to be the priority. But not only should it be a priority, it should be our passion. When I was searching for my wallet, I can tell you I was passionate. There ought to be a passion in seeking the Lord. It's God's desire that we get to know more about him. Can you imagine if when Joe and I were dating and I would phone Joe up and she would say, oh, you know, do you want to come over tonight? Do you want to watch a film, or do you want to go to the cinema? Do you want to come and spend time with me? And I was like, nah. If I got nothing better to do, I might pop up. She'd be like, all right, okay, sling it up and find somebody else who's more interested. Can you imagine if that's our attitude when we come before the Lord? It's like, well, okay, Lord, I've just finished with Facebook. I've just finished with Instagram. I've done all my tweets. I'm caught up on Pinterest. And you know, I'm all done with what everything else is going on. So now I've got some time to spend with you. I'm like, oh, thanks. There ought to be a passion. You know, when we're searching for something that's important to us, we are passionate about it. We put our all into it. So why don't we put our all into seeking the Lord? But I'm saved. I don't need to seek the Lord. Yes, we do. That ought to be a priority in our lives, and that ought to be a passion in our lives. David said, when thou saidest, seek ye my face, my heart said unto thee, thy face, Lord, will I seek. The word seek here also means a desire. It's the same word or the same desire that's expressed earlier in the chapter. And James said this verse today, one thing have I desired of the Lord that I will seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. That ought to be a desire in our lives. That ought to be the passion in our lives. We are passionate about a whole host of things. There ought to be a passion in seeking God's face. David responded and said, I will seek you. His response was not only one of resolve, it was one of readiness. You know, it's all very well and good for us to leave here today and say, right, okay, I'm going to do that. That's what I'm going to do tomorrow. And then tomorrow comes and it's back into the same old routine. How many of us miss appointments? How many of you have ever made an appointment for something and then it's like, oh, I can't make it? And then we've cancelled the appointment. There are some appointments we can't miss. There are some appointments which are too important to miss. There are some meetings in work that you would dare not attend because you'd be in trouble. What if we kind of pay more attention to the appointments we have in our lives? What if we set an appointment every day and say, right, I've got a meeting. Whatever time it is, 6 o'clock in the morning, 7 o'clock in the morning, whatever, every single day, and I'm not missing that appointment. It's too important to me. I remember Chris Bluto saying something to me. We were doing Bible Institute up in Annecy. And we had so much homework, it was unbelievable. The kids were little. Eve had not long been born. Hannah's about 3 or 4. Eve is just born. I've just had a massive promotion in work, so I'm so busy in work. I've announced a call to preach. We've just moved, so the house is upside down. I've got this big job. I'm trying to do a master's degree in work. I'm trying to do study and then up in the Bible Institute. And we had 4 lessons. 2 on a Tuesday, 2 on a Thursday, and there was homework with every lesson. And Chris Bluto also wanted 2 sermon outlines off us every week. And I was like, I start work at 6:15 in the morning. I get home at 6:30 in the evening, and church starts at 7. I said, I don't have time to do homework. I said, I don't even have time to do my devotions in the morning. And do you know what he said to me? Get up earlier then. I wanted to hurt him. Get up earlier. I'd have to get up at 4 o'clock. So that's what I did. Because that's how important spending time with the Lord was. We can all say how busy our lives are. And they are. They are busy. But nothing's more important than spending time with the Lord. How many things do we shift through the day to make room for something else? We shouldn't shift this time because we're too busy. David was resolved to seek the Lord. He was ready to seek the Lord. Spurgeon said, the true heart should echo the will of God as the rocks among the Alps repeat in sweetest music the note of the peasant's horn. Seeking the Lord should be a priority in our lives. It should be a passion in our lives. But there are so many things that clutter up our lives. And listen, if Satan can't get us on our stance or on our doctrine or on anything else, he will get us to stop spending time with the Lord. I can't remember who said it. I think it was said on Wednesday night when we had a little question and answer thing after we were studying Job. And I can't remember who said it, if it was Len or Andrew Davis or, but somebody said that they were reading something about the devil and his minions had gathered together. And they said, how can we affect the Christian? How can we, interrupt the Christian's life? How can we distract the Christian? And the devil said, we don't need to do anything because it's already being done. We've got so many things distracting our lives. Seeking God's face ought to be a priority. It ought to be a passion. So what's the principles? Let's have a look at 3 principles in seeking the Lord, and then we'll be finished. The first principle is consistency. Consistency. Psalm 105:4 says, seek the Lord and his strength. Seek his face evermore. 1 Chronicles 16:11. Seek the Lord and his strength. Seek his face continually. There needs to be a consistency in seeking the Lord. How many of you have ever dieted? 3 people willing to admit it, 4 people. You know, the one thing we did, Joe and I did Slimming World for years. And little known facts, I can't believe I'm about to say this from the pulpit. Joe and I won Mr. and Mrs. Slimmer of the World for the whole of Wales. Did I say for the world? We felt like the world, Slimmer of the Year, Slimmer of the Year. They wanted to take our photos and everything. But you know what they kept harping on about? Consistency. Consistency. If you do something consistently enough. I hate dieting. Dieting and being a Baptist don't go together. Consistency. If you do something long enough, it suddenly becomes a habit. And we won't see any change unless there's a consistency. There's got to be a consistency in seeking the Lord's face. It's not something that we do, oh, great, well, I've done it today. Now, I don't need to do it tomorrow. There still needs to be the same passion. There still needs to be the same priority because there has to be that consistency. Today, tomorrow, the day after, and every single day until the Lord calls us home or until he returns for his church. There has to be a consistency. We can't do this on our own. This Christian life is hard on our own. We can't do it in our own strength. And unless we consistently seek the Lord's face, we need that strength to be imparted into our lives so we can face the problems of this world, so we can face the attacks of the devil, so we can face the temptations of the flesh. There's got to be a consistency. But not only does there have to be a consistency, there has to be a change. Hosea 10:12 says, sow to yourselves in righteousness, reap in mercy, break up your fallow ground, for it is time to seek the Lord till he come and rain righteousness upon you. As with anything, if we want to make a difference, there has to be a change. And maybe there needs to be a change in our lives to put the Lord first. Maybe there needs to be a change in our schedule. Maybe you can't do it at 6 o'clock in the morning, but maybe there's a lunchtime. Maybe there's a period of time in the evening. Maybe there's a period, but you just have to set that time apart. And maybe some things have to change. Maybe you need to forego that first cup of coffee. Maybe you need to get up earlier. Oh, I can't get up that early. You can when you're going on holidays. Oh, I can't get up that early. You can if there's a different meeting you need to attend in work. Maybe we've drifted away from the Lord. And look, there are warning signs. Because one of the first things to go is the time that you spend with him. Maybe the Bible reading drops. Maybe the praying drops. Maybe the church attendance drops. Maybe, bit by bit, you've drifted away from the Lord. Change. Just change. There came a point in the prodigal's life where he was sat there in the pigsty, just desiring to eat the pig's food because he was destitute. And he made a change and said, whoa, in my father's house, the servants are faring far better than this. I'd rather be a servant in my father's house than be the master of this pigsty. And there was a change. So maybe some things need a change in our lives. Maybe the fallow ground has to be broken up. You know, if you want to make an effort in the garden, then it takes time. You know, if you want the garden to look nice, it takes effort. The earth has to be dug up. The plants have to be, or the bulbs have to be planted, and seeds have to be sown, and then they have to be watered and looked after, and it's an effort. Maybe there's some fallow ground in our lives that need to be broken up. Maybe there's some things that need to change. If we stop and we don't realize how important the Word of God is, then there's only one direction to go, and that's backwards. Few principles, consistency, change, chance. Take the chance to seek the Lord while it's time. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. If you are lost and you've never accepted Christ as your Savior, then there is a chance to accept the Lord Jesus Christ right now. Believer, if you are saved and you are here today, we have a chance to seek the Lord because that opportunity might not be there tomorrow. Seek the Lord while he may be found. For those who are lost, can I just say this? The death comes upon us quickly. We're not guaranteed tomorrow, Proverbs 27:1 says. We don't know what the next moment will hold. James says that our life is like a vapor. It's here one moment and then it's gone. If you are lost, you have a chance to accept the Lord right now. And that chance might not be there tomorrow. That chance might not be there this afternoon for you. Because we don't know what the next moment will bring. Believer, today is the day to seek the Lord. Take the chance to seek Him right now, to walk with Him and commune with Him every single day. Opportunities to seek the Lord will pass. Whereas James said, you know not what a day, what shall be on the morrow, for what is your life? It is even as a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. Take the chance to seek the Lord before you become disinterested. Because the devil will put enough things in your lap to kind of take you away from the Lord. It's incredible how many people you've kind of seen drift away from following the Lord, drift away from serving the Lord, drift away. We've got to take our chance right now to seek Him. Ezekiel 33:31 says, and they come unto thee as the people cometh, and they sit before thee as my people, and they hear thy words, but they will not do them. For with their mouth they show much love, but their heart goeth after their covetousness. And lo, thou art unto them a very lovely song of one that hath a pleasant voice and can play well on an instrument. For they hear thy words, but they do not do them. Can I say this? We have a chance to seek God now. God's word has told us to seek His face. God's word has told us to search the Scriptures. God's word has told us to seek Him. And the children of Israel had the same opportunity, and they didn't do it. They heard the words, but they did not them. You know, if we continue to turn away from the Lord, there's going to be a distance between us. We have a chance to seek God's face now. Hosea 4:7 says, Ephraim is joined to idols, let him alone. If people continue to turn away from the Lord, if people continue to reject the Lord, if you are lost and you reject the Lord Jesus Christ, there comes a point where it says the conscience is seared as with a hot iron, and that opportunity is gone. If we fail to seek the Lord, to search the Scriptures, to read the Bible, to pray, to be in church, you will drift away from God. That's a fact. I have never seen anybody who has kind of become cold in their Christian walk. And then the next step is to not be in church anymore. The next step is to not be around Christians anymore. The next step is to not want to pray, to not want to read the Bible, to not want to be anywhere near the Lord. Ephraim is joined unto idols. Let him alone. Can I say this, that the time to seek the Lord is right now, whether you're lost or saved? That's the priority. It ought to be a passion. The principle is there has to be a consistency in our seeking. There has to be a change. Something's got to change in order for us to put God first in our lives. And we have a chance right now to seek His face. And that sounds simple. But if we draw nigh unto God, then He'll draw nigh to us. There was a guy watching the sport on TV. This must have been before the days of mobile phones, because the house phone rang. And he was following along the sport, and he did not want to miss the game at all. So he went out into the kitchen and answered the phone, and he was trying to kind of listen to the phone conversation, and he was also trying to listen to the TV. But he couldn't quite hear it. So there he is, stood in the kitchen with the phone to one ear and the remote control in his hand, trying to turn up the TV. But it wouldn't reach. Why? Because he was too far away. You know, it gets to a point where the believer drifts away from the Lord. We're the one who's done the drifting. If I regard iniquity in his heart, he will not hear. We have a chance to seek the Lord right now. I know what everybody's situation is or whatever his condition is. I know each and every one of us is different. Maybe you're not where you should be with the Lord. Let's change it. Oh, I can't. You don't understand. Like, if the prodigal could have his situation changed, and this is a proud man, this is a pig-headed man, this is a stubborn man, this is a selfish man. If he can make a change to go back to the Father's house, then there's hope for anybody who's wandered away from the Lord. I don't know where you are right now. Maybe you got it all set up and you are perfect in your seeking and your searching, and who are you to tell me what to do? I do my Bible reading every day and I pray every day and I've never missed a reading. I've read through the Bible, 75 times, but praise God. Wonderful. But for some of us, we're not that spiritual because we struggle. Maybe we struggle to find time. Maybe we struggle to get the opportunity. But seeking God's face ought to be a priority. Seeking God's face ought to be a passion. We're passionate about a whole host of things. Wouldn't it be great if we had the same passion for Him that we do for our favorite hobby, that we do? Maybe you're in a job that you love and you're passionate about it. Well, we need the same passion for the Lord. We have to have that passion. The principle is there's got to be a consistency in our seeking. There's got to be a change. If we're not doing something right, just change it and put it right and seek the Lord. Yeah, we have a chance right now to seek His face, to learn more about Him, to grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord. So, regardless of what's in the bulletin this week, here's your challenge. Sorry, Joe. Do the challenge in the bulletin. But there's another challenge. I want you to set an appointment this week, every day. Put it in your calendar. Because when you get a bing on your phone and it says you've missed your appointment, it's convicting. Set an appointment. If you've got to leave the house by 7 o'clock, then set an appointment for 6:30. Spend time with the Lord. Seek His face. Make it a priority, not a pain. It's not like, oh, can't believe I got to do this. It ought to be a passion, a priority, because there's some principles to seeking the Lord. Father, we thank You again for this time together today and for the opportunity to come around Your word. Lord, would You just help us? You know the needs of each and every one of Your children here today. I pray that You would just help us to seek Your face. You know those that are struggling, Lord, maybe we're watching online. Maybe they're watching online because they don't want to be in church anymore. And Father, I pray You'd speak to their hearts. We recognize that there are those watching online today because they cannot be here because of ill health, Lord. And we just pray that You would just undertake for each and every one of them today, Lord. And Father, we recognize the blessings that we have in technology. We recognize the importance of our mobile phone today. But we also realize that sometimes that blessing can become a curse because it gets in the way of us seeking Your face. So help us to have an appointment this week, Lord, with You. Help us to just be still and know that You are God. Help us to search the scriptures, to seek Your face. And help us to see the difference that that'll make in our lives in this week ahead. So, Father, may we all be challenged to set that time aside, to seek You, and that we may see You do an incredible work in our lives. We just pray and ask these things in Christ's name. Amen. Amen. And we'll stand and sing our last hymn together. time. Before we close in a word of prayer, I'm going to ask one question. And I want you to be honest about it. And I want you to raise your hand if it's a yes. How many of you are going to change something this week to seek the Lord? Amen. Praise the Lord. So every look around to every hand that's up. So there's your accountant. Our hands are going up. Now people are looking around. Oh, go on then. That's the accountability. Let's seek the Lord's face and let's see God do incredible things in your lives and in turn do incredible things in this church. Not because of us, but because of him. I wonder if Julian will close us in a word of prayer. Thank you, Jill.